From Spark and Anvil and Dance Quest, this is Beckon, in Chapter 1 of the Dance Quest cast. This drama uses an AI-generated voice, voiced via Gemini 2.5. Beckon was a lyrebird tween, warm brown and soft-bodied, with a big expressive tail she could sweep in wide inviting arcs. She wore a loose flowing wrap that trailed when she gestured, and everything about her seemed to be offering, reaching a wing out and then waiting, bright-eyed, to see what came back. She never rushed to fill a silence. She made a movement and then paused, open, expectant. On a cord at her side, she carried two little bells, one bright and one deep, and she'd ring one, call, and wait for someone to ring the other, response. Call and response is a conversation you have with your body, Beckon liked to say, sweeping her tail out in invitation. One dancer makes a movement, that's the call. Another dancer answers it, copies it or flips it or grows it bigger, that's the response. Back and forth, like talking, but in movement. It only works if you truly listen to what the other person offered, with your eyes and your whole self, and answer that. Not just do your own thing when it's your turn. Beckon grew up in the Misty Forest, where her family were the song callers, lyrebirds famous for their calls that echoed across the valley and were always answered. A call sent into the empty forest and ignored was a lonely, sad thing. But a call that came back, answered by another bird, turned into a duet, a conversation, a whole morning chorus of birds building on each other's songs. Little Beckon learned the hard way that a good answer requires real listening. She used to send her call and then, instead of listening to what came back, just launch straight into her next showy call. "You're not having a conversation," her mother told her. "You're taking turns talking at each other. Listen to what your partner actually saying. Answer that. Maybe echo it. Maybe turn it upside down, maybe make it bigger, but answer what they gave you." When Beckon finally learned to truly listen and answer, her calls turned into real duets, two voices weaving together, and it was the most alive she'd ever felt. She never forgot that the magic was in the listening, not the calling. At 12, Beckon swept her way to Dance Quest, two bells jingling. Rhythm met her and asked, "What is call and response?" Beckon rang the bright bell, then the deep one. "It's a conversation in movement," she said. "One dancer makes a call, a movement. Another answers it, echoes it, flips it, grows it, back and forth, like talking. And it only works if you truly listen to what the other dancer offered and answer that, instead of just doing your own thing on your turn." Rhythm smiled. "You are appointed." Beckon's studio had two facing spots on the floor, a caller's and an answerer's. And today, a serious badger tween named Sumi stood on the answering spot, arms crossed. "Me and my partner are supposed to do call and response," Sumi said, "but it just looks like two separate solos glued together. She does her move, and then while she's doing it, I'm already planning my move, and then I do mine. And it doesn't connect. Rhythm says there's no conversation, but I am taking turns." "Taking turns isn't the same as answering," Beckon said gently. "Right now, you're waiting for your turn to perform, not listening to what she gives you. Let's fix that." She rang the bright bell. "I'll call. Watch my whole movement. Not to copy it exactly, but to really see what I offered." Beckon swept one arm slowly up and to the left, then opened her wing wide, a big, reaching, hopeful call. Then she waited, open, watching Sumi. "Now, answer that. What did I give you?" Sumi paused. She'd actually watched this time. "It was big and reaching and hopeful," she said. And instead of a planned move, she answered it. She took that same reaching bigness and swept it back the other way, then folded it smaller, like a gentle reply. It matched. It connected. It was suddenly a conversation. "That connected," Sumi said, startled. It felt like I was actually talking back to you. Because you answered what I gave you, instead of what you'd pre-planned, Becken said. She gave the badger the rules, ringing a bell between each. Watch the call with your whole self. You can't answer what you didn't truly see. Answer that call. Echo it, reverse it, shrink it, grow it, but make it clearly a reply. Don't plan your response during their call. Listen first, answer second, and leave a clear little space between call and response so the conversation has a rhythm and doesn't blur into two people moving at once.
When the studio hushed, Sumi stayed on the answering spot, replaying the movement duet in her head.
I do that in real conversations too, she admitted quietly. Wait for my turn instead of really listening. It's why my dances felt lonely, I think. Like two people not really hearing each other.
Becken settled beside her, tail folding soft.
That's the beautiful secret of call and response. It teaches your whole self to listen before answering, and there's almost nothing that feels better than being truly answered. When your partner sees what you offered and builds on it, you feel met. That's not about how anyone looks doing it. It's about two bodies actually hearing each other. She rang both bells softly, bright then deep. A call that gets answered is never lonely. Sumi rang an imaginary bell back and felt the glued together loneliness of her old dance warm into the alive, connected feeling of a real exchange, the gladness of being heard and answering back. Listen first. Answer what they gave you, Becken said, sweeping her tail in a wide open arc. Doesn't it feel good, being truly answered?
You've been listening to a Spark and Anvil chapter, written by the Spark and Anvil writing team for ages 9 to 14. Spark and Anvil is a 501c3 public charity. Apps stay free forever. Curriculum aligned to Becken. Released under Creative Commons BYNCSA 4.0 for educational reuse. Visit Spark and Anvil for the full transcript.